Before we get started, a quick word from our sponsor, Community Financial's present CEO, Tansley Stern's new podcast, Despite Impossible. Now on to the show. Hey everybody, Mike Lawson here with CU Broadcast. Welcome back to our continued coverage of the 2023 FinTech Meetup. Here in lovely Las Vegas. I think it's their first in-person FinTech meetup, because I know the last couple of years they've been doing it virtual like everybody else, so this is their first in-person one, I believe, right?
It is, yeah. I've done it the last 2 years for, virtual.
Yeah, me too.
The in-person one, I didn't know what to expect at first, and it's been awesome.
Overwhelming.
Yeah, the first meeting, sitting down, and the buzz of having so many conversations and barely being able to hear in the room.
I feel like we're in a giant beehive. That's what I thought. There are a lot of bees in there. Oh, and by the way, where are my manners, sir? Asa's very own Landon Glenn. Oh, my
hey,
gosh.
How's it going, everybody?
Can you say blooper reel already? No, we're all right. Hey, the food's
coming
by. It's
a tricky name, you know.
Is it a trippy name?
Yeah,
Asa or Landon
names,
Glenn?
You know,
Landon, I know. Glenn. You are the man with two first names.
That's true. I could be Michael Landon or...
Glenn Landon.
Glenn Landon.
Yeah. All right. All right. Let's talk about the next...
Let's talk about it.
How's it going for you?
It's been really great. And,
yeah.
I think I'm impressed with how well they put it together. And when you compare it to... Do you do Money 2020?
I went there one time, and it was, wow.
Yeah,
it was
overwhelming. Having to go a mile back and forth, because, it's a little pricey, so people are setting up shop in a suite, and you've got to go to suite tower on this side of the place, and then you've got to go to a restaurant over here, because maybe people don't want to buy tickets or things like that, so you end up having meetings one after the other all over.
Yeah.
So the biggest value, I think, has just been the organization of how close the meetings are, and just how well planned it is.
Yeah, the software platform that they've built this on is pretty impressive.
I mean,
they're organizing literally 30,000, meetings upstairs.
Yep.
The fintech meetings, if you will, the speed dating meetings, if you will. So it's been a lot. How have those been going for you? I mean,
I've had really good meetings.
Okay, good.
Every single one of them has been valuable, and I think. I put a little bit of time in. I probably put in like 150 requests, and I probably received, I think, like 85 or something like
that.
That's
a good turn back.
So a lot of, work to get there, but putting in the time resulted in really great meetings.
Yeah.
So it's been good.
Good deal.
Yeah.
Good deal. All right. Hey, let's get to a conference session that you're going to be talking about here. You're going to be one of the 300 speakers here.
Yes.
Congratulations,
Thank
sir.
You. Yeah, I was pretty excited when they sent me the mug. I don't know if you saw that,
no.
But they mailed me a mug with my little character.
With your mug on it?
Yeah, with my mug on it.
Right on.
Mug on a mug.
Right on.
And it's pretty cool stuff. They're going the extra mile, I think, to just build momentum in the space.
Yeah.
And so it makes it fun, I think being able to help connect more people with more fintech. So additionally, I've had a lot of introductions to other fintechs, other institutions from other people, and tried to make introductions as well.
Yeah.
And so I think it's been really beneficial just to bring the network, the group together.
It's amazing. I mean, you walk through the hallways here and you're literally stopped four or five times like, hey, I want you to meet this person, or hey, nice to see you again, that type of stuff. So it's an amazing conference like that, and there's a lot of that going on. And meeting admittedly, there's a lot of people and a lot of companies here that I've never heard of, or I just don't know. So I feel, so it's very refreshing in that respect to meet some new folks and some new companies.
Yeah, really, really fun and refreshing, as you said. I think the other really interesting piece here is that, doing this event, bringing the community together, especially after, the last couple of weeks of craziness and things going on, it's just great to be with everybody and see the energy and fuel off of it and just build that community of people trying to build a better financial world. And
I
think we're all working on it together.
Yeah.
And as you mentioned with the session on embedded fintech,
let's hear more about it.
That's going to be a fun conversation. And actually, they had lunch sessions that you could join, table talks today, and ours was on embedded finance.
Oh.
And a lot of it was talking about the ability to embed financial tools into fintechs and to be able to have the ability to allow a fintech to have cards and loans and payments and deposits and whatnot. And so it's a nice spin to take the embedded fintech approach and be able to instead have the institutions actually keep that business home and embed those services into their offering.
Right. Keep it in the ecosystem, if you will.
Yeah, it makes it a little easier for them to promote an app because right now, I mean, we all need deposits, right? It's a hot topic because you've got... Maybe you've got bonds at 1% or 1.5% and someone else offers a 4% return and they're trying to take those deposits away on a 6-month promo and it's causing those liquidity crunches. So how can we incentivize, you know, people to keep their bond or their deposits with the institution they're already at? And I think there's a lot of fun ways we can do that. You know, I see an app right over here called Changed, and they round up transactions. And, you know, there's others on our platform called Walk that Damon John's promoting. They round up transactions to save for things and to do things as well. And that app normally uses a BaaS bank account. So all of those deposits get put in a separate account at a separate institution. And so the whole purpose of embedded fintech is so that that depository account will be
at your credit union, right, instead of going to some other...
So all those savings that are, they're all being saved at your current credit union, and it allows you to increase deposits and have tools that keep the ecosystem within the institution.
So what do you want folks to take away from your session? Because, I mean, we've been talking about embedded fintech, embedded finance, all that type of stuff for a little while now. So what do you want folks to take away from your session tomorrow?
I think the biggest thing we want people to take away is just the ease of going to market that we're trying to bring here, because what embedded fintech allows the fintech to do is focus on being a fintech, not have to worry about what does it mean if I have a card with my logo on it and I'm trying to do deposits and loans and whoops, did I break a law, or like how do I handle this, like how, you know, SOC 2 type 2 compliance, all these things are huge barriers. We just got our SOC 2 type 2 in December and we know how hard it was. And it takes millions of dollars, years of effort to get all of the regulatory compliance pieces to go to market as a fintech. And so I think what we want to do is just open up innovation and say, hey, fintechs, build amazing tech and don't try and reinvent the wheel. Don't try and become a bank or a credit union. You've got these regulated, trusted institutions that are ready to go in town.
They want your stuff.
And now we provide the fintech distribution channel. We provide them customer acquisition. We provide them a go-to-market model, because all of the monetization, the customer acquisition, the credit union can actually drive the users to these tools without worrying about the tools trying to steal the customer, the account holder.
Good point. Good point. Which is, seems to be the case these days, though, because a lot of fintechs out there, although there a lot of them are here and they want to work with banks and credit unions, there are others out there that want to become bank-like.
Yes.
And so they're nipping at the heel, they're nipping at the traditional banking's heels. So, which is a little scary circumstance right now. It seems to be common.
Well, I think it's a natural progression, right? Because you partner with the institution to get the data, and now you've got the data, and what do you do with it? Well, you try and monetize it. How do you monetize it? Well, selling cards and accounts and loans. So they eventually say, well, let's become an institution through a BaaS platform or something like that. And that's a big regulatory lift, and it's a lot of extra things to worry about.
Do they really want to go down that road? They don't want you. Or a bank? Well,
they're already
down that road. So
yeah, no, that's
a big deal.
It's a big headache.
Yeah.
And so I think they realize how hard it is and how much money it takes. So just removing that barrier and making it so that innovation can literally, you know, one of the sessions was the head of FTX, and he's talking about two girls in their garage that could build the next big thing because they have a standard that they for integration. It's a standard API set, and it makes it easier to integrate. But then you start to really think about that and you say, okay, well, how are they going to go to market? They've got the integration to the bank, but they have to go through an 18-month vendor due diligence process or however long that takes. They have to worry about SOC 2 Type 2 compliance. They have to worry about all the insurance and liability and touching that customer data. And what we're finding from institutions, both credit unions and banks, is that anytime someone's touching your customer data, they sometimes just kick the solution out because of the headache. They say, oh my gosh, it's going to take so much time. There's liability there, privacy concerns. Do we really want to put our name on this? And so what that embedded fintech platform does is it keeps that member's data private, mm-hmm. and it allows them to use these tech solutions without sharing their name, their email, their account number.
Well, it sounds like it's taking these partnerships to another level, right?
It is.
So, and that's what we want these days in order to keep those credit unions and banks as well, to keep them top of mind for consumers out there instead of going down a fintech route, which might not be the smartest decision to make these days. So,
yeah, and go ahead, sorry.
Oh, no, I'm just kind of I'm thinking out loud here, yeah. Landon.
So. Yeah, I think that's spot on. And when you really look at innovation and what's best for the customer, if I've got, you know, we've used this example a few times, but if I've got an experience I want to try out, the one thing that the customer or the member can't control today is the institution that powers their digital experience. If they want Chime, they have to leave their institution and go get Chime and open an account with Chime.
Right.
If they want to try another fintech, they have to many times pull their credit, open an account, move things over, and that's work. It's exposing your credit. It's exposing yourself to a startup, you know, institution that maybe doesn't have experience like your traditional FI.
You're right.
And so there's a lot of risk there and a lot of work. Whereas with embedded fintech, it's just point and click. You say, I want to connect this checking account and power this fintech, and it's all interchangeable. And you can move that around at any time.
Nice.
So it's just faster go-to-market, and we're not going to ask fintechs to, like you said, become a bank.
Right. Goodness. Which might not be in the business plan. So.
Yeah, they figure it out as they go. I mean, you have these great ideas. I want to really improve, you know, why is there not innovation in my credit union?
Oh, yeah.
Why don't I have more apps for my bank?
Yeah.
And they're frustrated, so they go and invent something, and then they try and launch it, and they're like, this is terrible.
Mm-hmm.
Core integration nightmares, regulatory and compliance barriers we never knew existed.
Yeah.
What does all this mean?
Yeah.
And so then there's companies trying to make it easier, but we still have not unlocked innovation.
Yeah.
And I think embedded fintech is going to be that next step up. We're going to level up the adoption of innovation. Just making it so that as a user, I don't want to have to share my username, password, and multi-factor authentication to try and use some tool.
Exactly. You want it all right there. We can get to it. So,
right.
Good deal.
Yeah.
Hey, before I let you go, give us a quick plug on Asa.
Yeah, so obviously Asa is an embedded fintech platform that allows members to turn on fintech without sharing their name or any other data.
There you go. Basically, what we just talked about.
That's what we talked about.
Yep. All right,
I summarized.
Exactly. Yeah. Right there.
That'll be the whole interview. Just do
exactly
that one thing.
10 seconds.
Yeah, 10 seconds.
There. That's it. All right. All right, Landon. Anything else to add, sir? Any final thoughts?
No.
Sir?
Excited to be here with you again.
Thank you.
And lots of great fintechs and just kind of expanding the ecosystem. So.
Right on, man. We'll keep up the good work there at Asa, and look forward to the next chat, sir.
Thank you so much.
Well done, sir.
Appreciate
well done.
It.
Go check them out, Landon Glenn at Asa. They're doing some good stuff.
Thank you.
Before we get started, a quick word from our sponsor, Community Financial's present CEO, Tansley Stern's new podcast, Despite Impossible. Now on to the show.